So, wow, 2016. We're in the last month of the year. Can you believe it? It's been an incredible year. And you know, if you can come to the point where you can thank God for everything, you're in a good place. It says, thank the Lord in everything. So you might have lots of things to thank Him for that have been good. But I tell you, He works together all things, good and bad, for the sake of His people. And even if you've had some difficult times, maybe you've had some pain, the pain is not from God. But you can thank Him in the pain, because He's a God who felt pain Himself and can set you free from it. But He's a God who uses everything for His glory. So where you might have gone somewhere and come back, where you have maybe trusted for something and it didn't happen, whatever it is, you can thank Him. Because in it all, He will be the Lord and the God of everything that takes place on this earth. The devil has got a plan for your life. You know that. You know the devil has a plan for your life. But God's got a plan for your life. And the Lord is so amazing that He even uses the devil to fulfill His plans for your life. And so, at the end of the day, it's God who gets all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. So don't be afraid of anything. And I want to encourage you to stay in faith for the things that He is doing and is going to do. Psalm 145 from verse 1 to 3, I'll just read it to you quickly. It says this, I extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. It's powerful, eh? The rest of that psalm is amazing. You should highlight it, Psalm 145. Once you've read a Psalm 145, you can't walk away from your Bible done. You walk away in high spirits because you think about all the things that God is doing all the time. He is incredible. There's two people that have birthdays yesterday, am I right? There's happy birthday to Mignon and happy birthday to Maciek. Maciek was here one time. Happy birthday. Anyone else got a birthday today? No, happy birthday. The Lord bless you guys. Honestly, may it be an incredible year. The Lord will do great things for you. Now, gee, I want to just praise Him for what He's been doing in 2016. How many of you can remember things that the Lord has said to you in this year? From a word point of view, if we think about the preaching series that we've done in the year, it's like the Lord has roared with His word, and He always does. You know, His word is powerful. His word, it talks about the voice of God that smashes the cedars of Lebanon. And I tell you, if you come Sunday after Sunday and you're hearing the voice of God, it's smashing the things that need to be broken down in your heart, and it's building up the things that He's intended for your life. Week after week, we can thank God for the word that has been preached. You might have come over 50 Sundays, 52 different Sundays, or there's still a few Sundays left of this year, but there's nearly 50 Sundays, 50 preachers, where God has been speaking His word. If the word of God is preached, if we're highlighting Jesus Christ here, you can know that Christ has been formed in your heart this year. Every time we sit under the word, doesn't matter how Brad preaches it, doesn't matter which jokes he adds to it, every time the word of God comes and every time the word of Christ comes, it does something inside of us. Outwardly, you might be experiencing the wasting away of one more year on your body. But the Bible says this, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day to be more like Him. It's an incredible thing. But the word is what sustains us. The word is what lifts us up. The word is what keeps us walking, keeps us believing. It's the word that gives us faith. It's the word that establishes everything, the word of God. And I thank God for His word in my life. It takes a huge priority for me. Therefore, it takes a huge priority for us. It takes a huge priority for Him. Jesus said this, I've placed above my name, my word. Can't remember which psalm it is exactly. But you would think someone's name is more important than their word. But I tell you, you can only know if somebody's got a good name if they keep their word. And so that's why He's elevated His word above His name. Incredible. So we might love His name for the different things that He's done in His name. His name is amazing because in His name is healing. In His name is provision. In His name is all these things. But the word has been elevated. And we want to be a church that continue to live for the word. Who remembers the series, Love Builds Up? And in fact, you don't know it, but I've been purposefully preaching from 1 Corinthians the whole year. Did anybody notice that? So for the whole year, most of the time, I've been preaching from 1 Corinthians. Because that is an incredible book where it teaches us that God has got a plan. He's called us, He wants to use us, and He builds us into His body. And He's going to keep doing amazing things among us until we're resurrected with Him. And so there's wonderful things still in store for us. But He's been building us up. Who of you remember the word that Manny shared with us on the Lord's Supper? That was an incredible time. Just Manny finding great new revelation from breaking bread. And we're going to share in communion a little bit later. But Manny has been, he says he's been taking it every day. Every day. And he sits and he opens his Bible and he's been considering the blood of Jesus and considering the body of Jesus every single day. And it says it's changed his life. And I tell you that when Manny preached that in this church, it had an impact. And if we could sit and consider the blood and the body of Jesus on a daily basis, oh my gosh, the forgiveness on a daily basis, his resurrected body on a daily basis. Think about that. He died, but he rose again. On a daily basis, if you can consider Jesus and the gospel, it'll change your life forever. It already has. Bruce McAlpine, I don't know if you remember that time when he came and he was preaching and he preached about the fragrance and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we had a whole lot of olive oil and we had a whole lot of expensive perfumes and we mixed it all together and we were anointing people with this incredible, amazing smelling oil. Were you here on that Sunday? And I tell you, that's what God does when he wants to anoint us with his Holy Spirit and wants his Spirit to empower us for different tasks. It adds the fragrance of God to the earth. I love what you were saying, Rudy, about your child. It was Rudy. It's about the fragrance. It's beautiful. You know, wherever you go, because the Word of God is in you, it brings a fragrance to the world. Sometimes people ask me, Brad, what is this church, what is the Crossing Church doing in Joburg? What things are you doing in the community? And I say, Sunday after Sunday, we preach the Word of God to 120 to maybe 200 people who take the fragrance of God to Joburg and to the community. The most effective thing we can do is sit under the Word and apply the Word in our homes, in our workplaces, and everywhere we go. And you know what? God will do some amazing things. He will look after the poor. But you know what? It's all of us doing what the Word says and going out with His anointing and being a fragrance to the world all the time. That is way more effective. That's why Jesus plants churches all around the world. If He's going to change a city, He's not going to send a ministry. He's going to plant a church. Hello? God saw Midrand. God saw Glenfinnes. God sees this northern suburbs of Joburg. And he says, I'm going to change it. I'm going to add my fragrance there. I can see there's some things that don't smell too good. He says, but I know what I'm going to do. I'll plant a church there. And there'll be a people who worship me, who praise my name, and who go out with his presence, with my presence everywhere. It's a powerful thing. Is there a bit too much bass on this? Is this, eh? Boom, boom, hello. Like the Word is coming through now. Anyway. Tyron Daniels was in the meeting when he spoke about a Christ-centered church. And it was a privilege to have the leader of the NCMI team come and share and have faith for us and with us and preach here. And he was talking about what does it mean to be a church that stays faithful to Christ. Many churches want to do this, want to do that. But actually, folk, we're nothing if we're not in the vine. And we're disconnected if the head is not Jesus. And so in everything we do, we want to make sure that Jesus Christ is the head, is the focus, gets the most mention, gets the most celebration, gets the most airtime. Jesus Christ. Because this is the church of Jesus Christ. It's not the church of any denomination. It's not the church of any person. It's not the church of Brad and Cherise Elaine. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Do you know who the chief shepherd, the senior pastor of this church is? Jesus. He's your senior pastor. Oh, but the pastor didn't visit me. You know what? I'm not omnipresent. But Jesus is. And if I can encourage you on a little level, in my flesh, for you to have more and more of Jesus in His Spirit, where you are, wherever you are all the time, then I'm doing my job well. I'm not here to draw you all to me, to make a nice little flock for myself. I'm here to point you away from me to Him. We'll do it together, but to Him. And He's got a flock. And he says, you are my sheep, and I will be your shepherd. Incredible. So keeping Jesus the focus and the center has been something that we strive to do and will be keep doing. Who remembers Tony Silverite preaching? Who remembers the Foundation Stones course? How many guys did the Foundation Stones? If you can lift your hands up, I tell you, that was a powerful, powerful teaching. Well done, John and Chris. And I think Tim got 96% as a facilitator. Where's Tim? Is Tim here? Where's Tim? He's teaching someone else. Who remembers the Fear Factor series by Ian Dornan? How many of you have been set free from fear? I tell you, that last session on freedom from fear of death was powerful. Most people are scared of something, but at the end of the day, it's being scared of dying. You're scared of not having money. It's actually you're scared of dying. You're scared of scared of your sickness, scared of dying. But if you can be free of the fear of death, and that's exactly what Jesus comes to do. You know what? Death is the wages of sin. But Jesus has forgiven our sin. So therefore, there's no fear of death. Because he's not going to pay us with death. He pays us with eternal life. You need to be free of death. The fear of death, the marriage courses, the parenting courses, there's been lots of things. In Acts 20, verse 20, Paul says this, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that would be profitable, teaching you in public and from house to house. We celebrate the word of God. In Acts 20, verse 24 to 27, Paul says, I do not account my life of any value or as precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know none of among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. It's an incredible thing to get the whole word of God across to 200 people. I want to encourage you in 2017, get hold of that McChain Bible reading plan, or get hold of any reading plan, but go through the Bible. Jesus said it. His word is bread to us. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You can't live on just bread. There's that guy, Don Leonard. He used to go stand with a loudhailer at the Pick and Pay on a payday Saturday. And the queues were full. And the O's couldn't go anywhere because there were 10 trolleys in each queue. And he went there with his light ale and he says, what are you doing buying bread alone? You need the word of God. I'm going to give it to you today. And he used to preach the word of God to those Pick and Pays, to those on payday Saturday. Guys, you need the word of God. But maybe we don't have to go get a light ale. Maybe we do. Perhaps it would be a good idea. But let's get the word in and let's get the word out. The word is what sustains you. I love this verse in Acts 13. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of God, the word of the Lord. And as many who were appointed to eternal life believed. I tell you, the only way we can have eternal life is by believing the word of God. You don't get eternal life by believing anything else. The word of God is what gets you into heaven. You've got to believe it. No one's just going to get into heaven without the word. It's the word that saves us. And so we've had loads of people receiving the word of the Lord each week from a spirit point of view. Man, you know, in Luke 15, it says this, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. One sinner who repents. You know, the joy in heaven, the next little story or parable in that same Luke 15, it talks about the woman who lost her coin and she finds her coin. And she celebrates because she found her coin. And then it says this. It says, before the angels, there is joy in heaven. What does that mean, before the angels? Who do the angels look at? God. When somebody gets saved, and they say there's more joy in heaven before the angels, God is exulting every time one sinner gets saved and all the angels behold it. Hey? So we recorded 23 people got saved this year. So you might say, oh, only 23. Hello? Yeah. One is enough for the angels to see God rejoicing. Yeah. But I tell you, I don't know how many of you have been here for years and have decided in your heart, maybe this year, I need Jesus as my Savior. It could be more than that. Could be maybe somebody just came in and left and never told us. But the incorruptible word incorruptible seed of his word was planted in their hearts and they've gone away with salvation. But I want to trust for more than that. Come on. Hello? I want to trust that each one of us, how many are we here today? Say there's 150 of us here today. If each one of us trusted for one person to get saved here and not the same person, you know what I mean? Like we all trust for one guy. But if we each trusted for one more person to get saved, that's another 150 people. Isn't that what Jesus has called us to? Why are we still on the earth? Why didn't we give our hearts to Jesus and get zicked out back into heaven? Why don't we get raptured the minute we believe in Jesus? Because there's a task for us. The message makes us messengers. And so if the message has done anything for us, it saves us, but it's made us a messenger. If you can trust for one person this year, this coming year, next year we'll have double. Isn't it? Do you want to try? All right? Excited? Happy? Yes. Come on. You're allowed to get excited, yeah, eh? I love this church. I love dancing and rejoicing, and the things that God says makes me happy. We had 12 people baptized. We had another 28 people baptized in the Nyagatari, in the river. That was interesting. We were in this river, and there were cows walking up the river, and the cows do what cows do in the river. And we were baptizing downstream. So we were watching the cows. We were like, okay, another one. Bring the 28 people got baptized. Incredible time there. People were healed. Who was healed of something this year? Amen. Look at that. Look around you. Does God heal? Put your hands up high. Look. Somebody might be asking, does God heal? Look at the people that were healed. If you were healed this year of sin, put your hand up. Okay? Hello? In the name of Jesus Christ, healing takes place. And there's lots of people that have been set free from all kinds of things just by God's amazing spirit. How many of you remember Sharisa, Reza, and Nikki at the ladies' breakfast? A powerful demonstration of the spirit upon their hearts and lives. So proud of them. What's his name? Michael Hanchett, prophet. He operates as a prophet. He said that this church will be known for the presence of God. I felt the presence of God on so many occasions. And that's not just because I'm the leader. The presence of the Lord is here. And we can trust Him for more. And we can trust Him for more of a manifestation of His Spirit. I'm trusting that in next year, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're highlighting all the teaching of Jesus, because that's what we've been asked to do by Jesus Himself at the Great Commission, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. So if we go to the Sermon on the Mount, we're learning most of what He's commanded in one sermon. So the Sermon on the Mount, right through the year, we're going to be preaching that. But the other thing I want us to do, apart from the Alpha course, which we're going to do, woohoo! After that, on our Sunday nights, after the Alpha course, we are going to trust God for His presence, His anointing, and we're going to ask God to equip us to minister with His anointing and to see people healed. Because it's one thing to have His word and understand it and preach it, but it's another thing to have it demonstrated through the laying on of hands and people being set free. We are going to trust God that those two tracks for that train are well prepared, the word and the spirit. We want what God says, but we want what God does. Jesus said what He said and did what He did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to see people set free in wonderful expressions of His power and His... Guys, the community, from a community aspect, there's been such a unity this year. Acts 2 verse 42 to 47 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayers, and all came upon every soul. I want to thank all of you for devoting yourselves. Whenever we've had a meeting, you've been there. Whenever we've called for a prayer meeting, you've been there. Whenever we've asked for prayer in a certain thing, you've prayed. I tell you, there is a unity among us which is beautiful and precious, and there God commands His blessing. There's a brilliant unity here. And yes, there's sometimes we have to contend for it, and we have to fight for it and say, hey, this is what we are going for. This is the vision that the Lord has given us. This is what we're all going to buy into and we're all going to give towards. And it's a wonderful thing to see that unity. And the beauty of unity is not uniformity. We're not being all called to wear a crossing t-shirt, which could be cool. But there's diversity. And the diversity among us is great, and God is wanting to use you in your different ways, with your different gifts and your different expressions, using it all to pump in the direction that He's got for us as a church. It's important for us to have a good, strong direction, good, strong unity, and then to bring in all the diversity to show that it all fits. If it's from the Lord, we'll all have space. People have been genuinely added. We're going to be praying for some new members as well. We've got 7 amazing life groups, and I'm trusting for 7 more. Thank you to the homes and to the hosts and to the leaders that have run those groups so amazingly. Our biggest meeting last year was 182 people at the Heinz Winkler, at Heinz Winkler's thing. Now, I mean, Jesus can draw bigger crowds than Heinz Winkler. Yeah, but that was a good day. But the Nativity play last week, these are the 2 big ones, it was about 186 people at the Nativity play last week. That's incredible. And that's excluding children. I haven't counted children. In our kids' ministry, on one of the weeks, they recorded over 70 kids. That's incredible. And you know, some people, oh, how many adults have you got? And they discount the children. You know what? Those children are souls that are counted in heaven if they believe in Jesus. They are people. So there's over 250 people that are being ministered to you every single Sunday. It's a beautiful thing. And so thank you, Lord, for more of that. Marriages in this place have been restored, and it's been good. I don't know if you noticed, but we started with the help of Rudy van Heerden at the back there on the sound desk, the Glenfinnes Riding Club, and the community at large have started to appreciate the church more than before, just simply because we made space for them to ride their horses. And this area, Glenfinnes, has got the highest density of horses in the world. In the world. Glenfinnes, Lipizzaners, the second only to a space in somewhere in Spain. Am I right, Rudy? Brazil. Sorry, Spain, Brazil, same thing. They talk the same language. If you ask a horse if it comes from Spain or Brazil, you'll never know. This area. And so if that's what's in the community, let's be a host to that. You know, so if you see horses riding around, that's lekker, because we love people and we love their horses. And you know, Jesus has a horse, while I'm on it. You know, are there animals in heaven? Well, Jesus has got a horse. It says he's the rider on the white horse. That's like the horse of horses. Can you imagine that horse? It's got gold teeth, I reckon. I mean, that doesn't bite you, but it's like when you see that thing, that horse knows, hey, I'm sure that horse could talk. Like, you know, what's this horse? Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. What I'm thinking of all kinds. But that must be an amazing horse. I mean, Jesus is not going to ride on a donkey when he comes again. He rode on a donkey when he went in to die on the cross, but next time he comes, he's got the horse of horses. What? It's got a flying horse as well. It flies. I mean, he spoke that thing out of his mouth. He just said, horse, and it was like, horse. Jesus' voice must have got hoarse. So, we've seen wonderful things take place as far as the mission of Jesus is concerned, just locally. Guys, the outreach, I remember that night we went under the Porsche building, a big red sign of that car company with a P. And underneath it, we were busy dishing out food in the cold of the night to a whole informal community, a little preschool over there, and just people like, why are you doing this? It's because we love you. I want to see more of that happen. I believe God has given us a door into Leerkop. You know, there's over 300 households that are right here on our doorstep. That's people that live there who are involved in the prison, who are wardens, who are families, who've got work in other places. They live here. We need life groups. We need youth groups. I don't know if you saw how many of those kids danced here last week. Most of them walk across the road from Leerkop Prison. They're not in prison. They work for the prison. But we also have got an opportunity to go preach the gospel in the prison again. So we used to do that. We used to go week after week until the prisoners didn't want us to come back for some reason. They were hearing some other gospel which said that you never sin again after you get saved. I said, no, pal, you do sin again. Then they said, no, I must get saved. So they didn't want me to come back because they were hearing some other gospel. But the door's opening again for us to go back in and encourage those guys. I mean, imagine preaching to a prisoner that if you ever sin again, you'll not be saved. Has anybody here been saved and never sinned again? Anyone? Exactly. While we're in the flesh, folk, we overcome it. But yet, if we stumble, he is forgiving. You don't lose your salvation if you sin. Hello? But you put your trust in Jesus. He forgives you of all your sin. And now there's an antidote. There's something conflicting in your heart when it comes to sin. Now you don't want to sin anymore. But even if you do, it's the spirit inside of you saying, hey, but you got it wrong there. You say, yes, Lord, you're right. Forgive me. That's the proof that you know you're a believer when something is challenging your sin. If nothing's challenging your sin, you're in a dangerous place. Then I'd like to ask you, is the Holy Spirit in your heart? Because he will always challenge us. Guys, internationally, doors have opened for us and God has used us in the Great Lakes. And I tell you, sometimes people say, but why do you spend so much time and so much money in other countries? You know what, guys? We spend about 10% of our time in other countries. That means a tithe of our time, maybe 10%, is spent in Rwanda, Burundi, Eastern Congo, because that's the door that God's opened to us. And I tell everybody that goes there, who went there for the first time this year? Richard, Ian, Tony and Sandy was first time last year. Your first trip in there, and I'm talking about a ministry trip, first time in there, it changes your life so much that you come back and you want to be a blessing in the place where you stay for 90% of the time. So sometimes a trip out into the nations, crossing borders, does more in your heart for your home than anything you could have done at home. And I tell you, it's always going to cost more money. It's always going to be more effort. It's always going to be harder to leave our families if it's for a week and our little kids and Carter with Sharice at home. It's always going to be tough. But you know what? It requires great amount of faith. And if it requires a greater amount of faith, then let's do it in the name of Jesus. But let's also trust him for at home. Let's trust him for many doors to open here as much as possible. So, hey, guys, God has been good. I can't go through and I can't mention everything. And I also want to say now that as I think and appreciate different people, I'm not going to be able to mention everybody. But you are considered. Everyone is considered. And I want to thank you, every one of you, for the things that you've been doing. So looking ahead to 2017, we're trusting that the teaching of Jesus would be known all around the world. We're trusting for miracles, signs, and wonders. We're trusting for new leaders, for deacons, saints. And I see Hilton is... This is a bad time to leave. Is your wife around? Okay. Do you want to fetch her? I'll give you a moment. We're trusting for more nations to open up. And I'm trusting for more neighborhoods. You know that there's a potential, they say, between 30 and 80,000 people moving into Stain City alone. Hello? Why do you think God's given us this huge building? Let's maintain it. Let's look after it. Let's make sure that it's good because there's going to be a lot of people getting saved here. That's Stain City alone, 80,000. What about Waterfall? 100,000 people. Gee. So, this couple next year, won't you please come stand up here before you sit down? Hilton and Reza Rose. Hilton and Reza Rose are a blessing. Would you agree? Give them a round of applause. They are planting into Mongolia. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Brazil.
In 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 to 7, it says this. This is a trustworthy saying. If anyone desires the office of overseer, if anyone desires or aspires to the office of an elder, he desires a noble task. This man has desired that task. This man has desired the task of shepherding the flock of Jesus Christ. It's a noble task. With his wife. It says, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, thank you, Jesus. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up or conceited and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. I want to say, with regards to you, Hilton and Reza Rose, you are leaders in your family. You're leaders in the Rose family and in the de Villiers family. You're leaders in your business. Both of you in business have excelled to the top of what you've done. You're leaders in this church and you're leaders to the world. And it's a privilege for us to have, having trained you and prepared you to see God do even more in you. But on eldership with us, on the 22nd of January, they will be ordained as an eldership couple. And so for John and I, for Sharissa and Nikki, it's an absolute privilege to see the team growing. And there are more guys that we're training. There's more of you that have got a desire to shepherd the flock of God, more of you that are wanting to step into that, and we're going to train it and see God do it. But this is going to be a wonderful moment for us. It's going to take the church to another level to have more people that are under the Spirit of God, set apart by the Holy Spirit to take care of the flock. And we all take care of the flock, but there are those that God has called to this. And so, if any of you, and I tell you, I'm happy with all these qualifications for them. If any of you have got any issue whatsoever, you come and talk to me personally. And we can work it out. And I can tell you why I believe in them. I believe in them. They're going to be great. You can believe in them. I tell you, I was ordained when I was 25. I didn't even know, honestly, at that time, I don't know what was going on. But God taught me and he used me because it's his anointing. And it's his task. And sometimes all he needs is willing availability and he can do the rest. It's about what God does through us, not what we can do. And so it's a wonderful privilege, Hilton and Reza. Wonderful. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 to 27. I'll read it to you as well. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. The foot should not say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, I mean, that would be weird. The whole, like a pixels, what's that movie? Anyway, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them he has chosen. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable are the parts of the body that we think less honor, but are bestowed great honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving great honor to the parts that lack it. And there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all of us suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. It's an incredible, incredible thing. I want to thank the staff, Chris and Patience and Johannes, my wife Sharissa, John on part-time eldership. I just want to, would you appreciate with me these incredible guys that are just on the staff that make and see this, that this place happens every single week. I don't know where Chris is now, but guys, would you honor and thank Chris regularly? That guy runs around. That guy sometimes is trying to do 10 people's job. And when he gets it wrong in one area, 100 people are upset with him for that one thing he got wrong. But I tell you what, he's a blessing. Him and Tracy together, they love this church. They sometimes the first in the morning to get you and the last to leave. Locking up the keys, everything. Bless that staff. Thank you for the guys that work hard among us. It's a wonderful thing. Just to John, the eldership, John and Nikki, if only John's here, John, won't you stand, please, for your counseling, for your perspective, for the unity that we've got, the friendship that we have. Bro, you're an incredible friend, and you're an incredible man, and God uses you mightily, and I want to thank him for you. And thank you for what you've done, John. You and Nikki and your family are a great asset to the life of this church. It's a pleasure to be on leadership with you, and looking forward to adding to it. It's great. Bless you, John. Thank you for laying down your life. Deacons, if you could stand, those that have been ordained as deacons, you are amazing people. And I want to say thank you to every single one of the deacons in the life of the church. You guys have served. You guys have made Jesus the servant look amazing. And it's clear that he is in you. I want to thank you guys for the way that you served. And I trust that there will be a multiplication of everything that you've been doing. But I want to say that I appreciate every one of you so much. Thank you for your service, for the times that you lead, your contributions, the suggestions that you make. You guys are a blessing to us. Thank you very much. The guys on the finance team, I'm probably not going to mention everybody's names, but like Chris and Roy and Tim, John, Chris Godlinton as well, on the finance team, thank you for your wisdom, your accountability, your stewardship, how God has helped you and helped us handle his finances well. And trusting God for wonderful things to happen in our finances. Guys, you can give a million. We'll look after it. Intercessory team. Those ladies on the intercessory team, if you don't mind standing, I want to thank God for you. God has been answering your prayers, Jill, Annette, all the ladies on that team, Sandy, there's Tracy as well. Please stand, please, folk. You know, there is a time for honor. There is a time to say thank you. Sorry, you guys, God is hearing your prayers for us. I tell you, guys, if any of you need prayer at any time for anything, do you see these ladies? I guarantee you, they will pray night and day for you. If you ever need anything, whether it's a job, whether it's health, whether it's someone in your family, you want to see someone saved, these ladies pray. They pray regularly. They meet together regularly. And I tell you, I'm on their WhatsApp group and it doesn't stop. Like, I know Jesus, the intercessor, is always praying for us because I know that he's praying for them and he's hearing their prayers every hour of every night. It's a blessing to know them. And guys, if you've got a sense to be on a team where you pray and intercede for the church, join Annette and these ladies. They're wonderful. Thank you so much. To all the ladies, thank you for being a representation of Jesus in this church and on the earth. Every single week. Mighty woman. To all the men, mighty men. Yeah, I took the advantage there quickly. To every one of the trainers and teachers in the life groups. To the worship team. Guys, can we give them a hand? Where's the worship team? Raymond and your family, Teresa. Just every single week, every Thursday night, early on a Sunday. This morning, though, we had 6:30. Every Sunday, Thursday, every Sunday morning, playing and working it out and playing for God. And for us to sing and worship together. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I want to thank you guys. To all the life groups, to the youth, to the parents, for parenting so well. Keep it up. For the marriages. Guys, your marriage is important. We don't want to, let's break that statistic that divorce is high in the church. Hello? Your marriages count for the gospel. Your marriages count for something amazing. Thank you for restoring marriages. Thank you for reconciling in your marriages. Thank you for fighting and contending for your marriage at every level. Thank you for seeing young people get married. Marriage is beautiful. Thank you guys for staying married. Keep it going. All those beautiful and amazing, like I think we had like a 35-year anniversary and there were some big number anniversaries recently. Ava and Merle and Chungu and Lorraine and who's, hey? Roy and Sari, how long have you guys been married? Can't remember. 100 49 years. Anyone beating that? We're halfway there. Amen. Theo and Lynn, you guys have got a big number. Hey, keep going, guys. Well done. For everyone that helped it at our events, for those who visited each other, for those who visited the church and stayed, for the comms teams, the branding, the coffee shop. Stephen, you're a blessing, my boy. And the Alfering family, and Rudy at the coffee shop. Guys, thank those guys when they make you coffee. Even if it's not the greatest coffee in the world, because then it's not really their coffee. Their coffee is great. Hospitality, the way you guys have loved each other. People have given each other cakes and flowers and all kinds of stuff. AV and sound desk. Yolinda, well done. Every single week. Rudy, you guys on the back there. That's also Bronwyn and Jenny Hansen. Then there's just different expressions of worship. The guys that have been waving the flags, the guys that are just the way people want to dance. I tell you, thank you for doing that. Thank you for using your gifts and your talents. The Ignition serving teams that are here early to open up and make sure that everything's ready to host people. Guys, we commend the servants are the greatest in the kingdom. It's good for us all maybe to serve. You know, up to 60 people a week are involved in something to make this happen. So let's see that number rise. Let's relieve them. Let's take the number to 120 so that they get a week off. Whatever it is, if we're all involved, be great. Children's ministry, I can't even, like Monique, Dawn, Yaku, Sonia, Dawn, Monique, Ziggy, Amy, Chris. The guys have been amazing. And everyone else involved there. Maintenance and the gardens, Tony, Sanacha, Michael, Brett and Ian, just helping around the building with so many things. Gifts, TVs people have given, books. The interns that have helped out in the year, our salvation response team, the guys that have been on security detail, watching to see that people are safe and sound coming into the gates, Robin and Johannes, it's incredible. Welcome teams, info desk, thank Tracy and Sherilyn behind the info desk there. And guys, just for celebrating each other, I must mention, there's none like Ian Fenton. There's no one like Ian Fenton. Where's Ian Fenton? There's Ian Fenton at the back there. That guy, if he's invited you for a fishing trip to hole in the wall, you know you are loved. And you better accept it. But Ian, when we get back from hole in the wall every year, he already sends out guys 365 days to the next one. And Ian, you're a blessing to the church because what you do brings community and strengthens community. Not just the fishing trips, but the card games at your house. Guys, there's none like Ian, but there's many like Ian who are doing little things that keep this thing together. Keep going. Don't stop. It's a wonderful thing. I want to pray in some new members. So please, can I invite up those beautiful people, Shirley, Rose and Orion, and your kids, Richard and Andrea. If your kids are here, it's cool, yeah. Please, it's nice. We want to welcome you in. Greg Nevin, and there's Maggie, who's among us, and? Did I miss one? Please come up, Richard, Andrea, all these beautiful people. Is this everyone? Ruan, Kruger, how dare you get under my radar? Is Maggie here today? Oh, yeah. Who of you guys think we should take Rudy van Heerden into membership? Yeah. Rudy, please. Rudy's been saying, gee, Brad, I'm so glad that you love me. Is it am I coming into membership like 3-4 times? This guy has got radically saved in this church. God is using him mightily. He's major changes in his life. Rudy, you're a blessing, man. You're a blessing. Guys, to each one of you, I want to say thank you for your love for Jesus. And may your love for Jesus continue to bear incredible fruit. I trust that this church is fertile soil, and that as God waters this church, and as God pours out His Spirit and puts His Word into us, that you will find great space and great freedom to come alive in your fruitfulness towards Jesus. It's people, individuals like you, that make the body great. And there's so many gifts and talents and abilities in each of you. I'm telling you, for each of you guys, if I look at you, I know your faces, I know your lives, I know a little bit about you, and I'm telling you, we're going to see God do wonderful things in and through you. And so, it's a privilege to welcome you into membership at The Crossing Church, and these guys are just, they're a blessing, they're involved in our life groups, they're just involved in some way where they're loving on the people, and the people are encouraged. Orion and Rose, you guys are incredible. I don't know, Orion is probably single-handedly, and probably about 4 trips on a Sunday, fetched as many car guards as he could find from the Kyle Army shopping center, I think, and just brings them in. But I mean, the Holy Spirit leads him and guides him. And we've seen at times there were rows of people that have just been brought. I tell you, that kind of thing is a contribution to the kingdom. It's got eternal value, and it's never in vain. I want to encourage you to keep doing that and things like that. Every one of you, you're special. You're blessings. The way you raise your kids, the way you make room for the kingdom. Hey, Greg and Ruan, I know you guys have got some incredible potential that's about to burst forth. And whether it's in serving in any way, but just a blessing. Sorry, I heard this story once where a couple was planting a church, not in Mongolia, and it wasn't Hilton and Riza. But this couple were planting a church, and there was a number of people who went along just to show that there was a crowd for the new believer to come in and see that a church was what a church should be. And I tell you, folk, sometimes maybe you're not involved in any way, but the fact that you come and the fact that you're here means that you're going to get involved in some way. But it means something. It's a powerful expression, our presence. When God is working among us, it says something to the world. And so every one of you, thank you for speaking what you speak to the world in being members at The Crossing Church. Can we stretch out our hands towards them? Lord God, I want to thank you for this wonderful crop of people. We trust you for great harvest through their lives. We thank you for what you've already been doing. We thank you for what you've been doing in them, how you've been loving them, setting them free, bringing the gospel to them in a real, real way. And Lord, thank you for the plans and purposes you have through them. I prophesy just great abundance to them, great fruitfulness. Your word says, as planted in the house of the Lord, they will bear fruit until old age. So Lord God, as they plant themselves, we thank you, there will be a fruitfulness. I thank you for future relationships. I thank you for future, just everything good. The whole future for them, Lord God, would be paved with your presence and with your success. Let your hand be upon them. And may we love them, and may they love us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Welcome, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a blessing, man. All right. Shirley, you're such a nice lady. Hey, Richard, Andrea, and Mia, and Owen. This guy's a good judo guy. Watch out for him. Greg, Ruan, God bless you guys, man. Welcome. Good. Guys, that's... I'm taking up a lot of time this morning. Oh, is everyone all right? Are you all good? Remember, there's food coming. It is hot in here, hey? All right, so let me make a suggestion. We could break bread at the tables with the food. So, Brad, are you treating that thing as less than holy as it should be? I'll tell you what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to fellowship in their homes and in the temple. You know what that speaks to me of? Very clearly from the scripture. It speaks to me of freedom around the Lord's table, where we have this mentality of certain things being so sacred and other things being non-sacred, and we draw a line between the two. Let's blur the lines. Because His blood and His forgiveness needs to go everywhere, and we need to be considering His body wherever we go. Listen to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 to 17. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing with which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. Isn't that awesome? So the point is unity. So I'm going to ask if the bread and the wine can be taken to the other food and we partake together and consider forgiving and loving one another and consider we're going to do it like that. Is that cool? I'm going to pray over it now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood and for your forgiveness. And I pray, Lord God, too, that we break every religious spirit among us. That, Lord God, the freedom of this gospel and the freedom of your blood should be in everything we do. And Lord, I thank you that it would be in our homes, in our devotion times, and when we eat together as a church. Why does that one scripture say, don't rather eat it at home if it's all about food? Because they weren't coming for a little wafer. They were coming to eat. And so, Lord, when we eat together, we consider each other, we love each other, and we let forgiveness flow among each other. I pray, Lord God, permeate our natural food with your body and with your blood, and let it be all around us, all among us. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Can I read one more thing, please, please, please? Listen to this poem. She is the plan of God on earth, always in her Father's eye, cherished, mysterious, beautiful, potent beyond measure, King empowered and life infused. She emerges triumphant, limitless with potential, a harbor for the hopeless and an answer for the ages, the church, resplendent, a bride for his son. She is the body of Christ on earth, born like her head amidst tribulation under jealous skies, cradled in her innocence and guarded for his purpose. She grows in wisdom and stature with victory on her lips and freedom in her hands. Hers is an unstoppable cause. She embraces the world with dignity, honor, and compassion and gives vision to the sightless and life to the dying. She is the family of God on earth. Within her compass, the hungry find sustenance and the weary receive strength. She is a haven for recovering humanity, enthralled by grace. She invites the broken, the vulnerable, and the outcast to be immersed in love. She stands imperfect, but perfection resides within her. She is flawed, but is washed with forgiveness. She has a treasury of faith and a wealth of belonging. She is the house of heaven on earth, a representative resolute to reconcile. The word within her accepts the receptive, but challenges the heartless. She is the ecclesia, the called out to serve the world, calling out to welcome in. Blood washed and armed with testimony, the cross is on her lips and liberates the chained and offends the unchanging. Like her master, she is pursued and persecuted, yet she rises with strength in her heart and fire in her soul. She is the bride of Christ on earth, readying herself for the day when all eyes will be upon her, prepared and presented before the Lord. The Lamb for whom the world waits, who comes like the rising sun, majestic and magnificent beyond description, while she dazzles with reflected glory, spotless, perfect, and mature. She bows down low to cast her crowns and passionately worships Him. Her temporal focus becomes her eternal gaze. She is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, man. Come on. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that passionate? Guys, that's amazing.